Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for Let's Talk About Jesus, our weekly Bible study right here on our website. Thank you for joining us again, that we together may gather around the Word of God. Now, we all have churches we go to and people that we know and affiliate with in those churches. When we get online, it broadens that opportunity that we can gather together in a different way than technology did not allow previously. Now we're able to gather together all around the world. So wherever you are in the world, connected to the World Wide Web, which if you're here, you're connected. Hallelujah. Amen. We are so happy to welcome you today. We are glad to have you today. And we pray that we might fulfill the scripture to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but much more as we see the day approaching. The day of the Lord hasteneth greatly, and we are looking for the soon coming of Jesus. Meanwhile, we're to occupy until He comes, and that means He wants a victorious church to welcome Him, not a victimized church that see ourselves as the persecuted minority that wishes the world would embrace us and accept us. No, the victorious church that said we do not need, nor do we desire, the acceptance of the world, for we're accepted in the Beloved, and we're accepted of God. Hallelujah. Well, that's a whole other message, but to preface this message, this victim attitude that many Christians have today because of the persecution, because we're being marginalized, and because the world actually, if you want to get right down to it, they don't just dislike us, they hate us. Jesus said, "Marvel not if the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you." Now, I don't want anyone to hate me, and I don't want to hate anybody, but I can't help being hated if people choose to. One thing is for sure, I'm not going to compromise my faith in order not to be hated. I'm certainly not going to compromise my faith in my Sovereign and my Savior in order to be embraced by the world. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said to love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. He's not talking about the earth. He's not talking about the beauty. God made the earth and made it good and made it beautiful. Man has corrupted it, and sin has corrupted man. But friend of mine, we love not the world, this system that is anti-God and anti-Christ and therefore anti-Christian, this satanically run system. This is what we're not to love, but we're to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Hallelujah. Well, I want you to turn with me today, if you will, to Psalm 18, David's Song of Victory. And this is about David, who found refuge in God when he was pursued by his enemies. And he discovered the compassion and the sufficiency of his protector when he put his trust in the Lord. God delivered him, and he composed a song of victory. And in that song are principles that we can apply to our life today in the face of the enemies that we have to contend with. There's always been enemies to contend with. Even in the promised land, there were always people coming up to try to take the land and destroy the covenant people of God. But we have a victory promised us in and through Jesus Christ today. So let's look at this. And let's look at before we look at the song he composed that became Psalm 18, it begins with this: "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, a servant of the Lord who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said," this is the song of victory. And he said, first three verses, listen, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. And then he went in to describe why that God became his strength. In verse 2, he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Praise God. And he said in verse 3, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Somebody say glory out in this audience today. Amen. I read that inscription which precedes this psalm because it gives us insight into the background of these verses. As the inscription states, this psalm was originally a song that was written to glorify the Lord and honoring him for delivering David from King Saul. And not only Saul, it goes further than that. It says, and all his enemies. You know, there's a scripture that says many are the afflictions of the righteous, because many are the afflictors of the righteous. But listen, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth him out of them all. God is not a God who does things in some kind of haphazard, shoddy, shabby way. Amen. This God that we serve is more than enough. Therefore, he makes us more than conquerors to them that love him and trust in him. More than conquerors means we don't just barely make it through. We live in a powerful present day promise that the Lord would never leave us and never forsake us. Hallelujah. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of David, the God of Samson, the God of Elijah and Isaiah is our God today. He hasn't changed. The church world has changed. Many Christians are in a process of vacillating and changing. But I'm telling you, the God that we serve has not changed. The present day church may not reflect the victory that has been provided for us and promised to us and brought to us in and through Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, there is victory for the child of God today. And when we walk in that victory, when God's deliverance becomes apparent in our life, people around us see and know that our God is a very real God, and he is a true and delivering God to them that put their trust in him. Hallelujah. You see, during the time that David was running from Saul, he was in constant danger of death. Now he's been delivered from his enemies, and he lifts his voice in praise to the Lord God, who's given him the victory. This is David's song, but you and I today have a song of victory to sing as well, don't we? We were all saved by the Lord, if you're a Christian. He gave us the victory over our enemies also. Now we who were hounded by the devil and in danger of dying without Christ have been saved, redeemed through grace, his grace. Since we've been saved and delivered from the snare of the enemy, we also have a reason to praise the Lord. So let's look at this. Let's look at the first stanza of this song of victory. David said, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. At the very beginning of the psalm, he asks and makes two great statements. He just really declares this. And profound statements. First, he says, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. There's a scripture that goes in another psalm or song of victory that David wrote that said, I love the Lord, because He hears my voice. I love the Lord because He hears my cry. I love the Lord because He hears my prayer. Inclining His ear to me. Literally, in the Hebrew, to incline His ear would be in a practical way to say this. He bends down and listens when I pray. This word here is in the Hebrew, rokam, and it means to love deeply and to have tender affection. To love deeply, to have tender affection. The reason that he's going to make the second declaration here is because he loves God, because God has listened to him and responded to him when he cried out to him for the help and protection that he needed. Listen, friend of mine, the devil means to hurt all of us. What did Jesus say to Peter and all the disciples that day and into our day? Because we are disciples, followers of Jesus as well. He said, Peter, Satan had desired to have thee. It's in the plural. You and all of you, literally. The devil has desired to have you, all of you, in the plural. That he may sift you as the wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And when, not if, but when thou art converted, when you not only overcome the enemy, but when you overcome your own weaknesses, your own fears, your own doubts, and your own inabilities, you see, when you are converted, when you become another man, strengthen your brethren. You see, when some of us get the victory, all of us probably won't get it at once, but when some of us get it, we're going to begin to share that victory and inspire that victory in others when they see that God is a delivering God and He is working today just like He did way, way back in David's day. First, he declares his love, and he says he loves the Lord. I love the Lord. And then he declares his absolute dependence on the Lord. Seems to be indicating he'll live his life with these two great themes ever before him. I love the Lord. Hallelujah. We used to sing it, and I used to just get teared. I got happy and broken at the same time. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship thee, to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Hallelujah. I love the Lord today because he first loved me. That's what stimulates that love. And David didn't just feel it because of a liver shiver on Sunday morning. Amen. He sensed it and saw it in the way that God answered his prayer when he called upon him. Love here, this particular word for love, means literally that for David is to love him deeply, but it also meant to fondle. It carries the idea of hugging. And it doesn't sound too reverent, does it? The psalmist is saying he's so filled with love for the Lord, he just wants to get up real close to him and hug him. We've all felt this way about someone we love. We've had our heart fill up with love for a child or a mate or to just for no reason other to reach out and just hold them close to express our love to them. This was the emotion felt by Mary Magdalene when she encountered the risen Christ in John 20 and verse 17, and by the disciples when they saw him also in Matthew 28 and verse 9. Considering all the Lord has done for us, how he's loved us and made a way for us to be saved, our hearts should be filled with that same kind of deep, devoted, ardent love. You know, we can't just reach out and grab a hold of Jesus like we're going to do when we get to heaven. Amen. Oh, yes. I'm sure He's going to welcome us to embrace Him when we get to heaven. Hallelujah. He has redeemed us. We are His reward for His sacrifice on the cross. The Bible speaks of us as His peculiar treasure. Amen. As covenant children. Amen. And a peculiar people by virtue of that in the new covenant. Praise the Lord. But friend of mine, we can love Him in our praise and in the way that we worship, and we can love Him in the way that we live our life to follow Him without apology to the world about us. Let them see our devotion. It won't make them happy to see us not compromise and make concessions. They will call us all kinds of names, but I'm telling you, we're following the One that we've set our heart upon. And as long as our heart is set upon Him and we love Him, we're going to be enabled to trust Him, because we're going to get to know Him intimately and personally. One of the disciples had a relationship with Jesus that was so different from the rest of them, the Apostle John. That disciple, the Scripture said, who laid his head on Jesus' breast. Who laid his head on Jesus' breast. Now, listen, I'm not talking about being irreverent. Hallowed be thy name should preface every prayer. But we should acknowledge this paternal relationship that we have with the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. Hallowed be thy name. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we can come to Him and know that He's going to bend down and listen when we pray. Praise God. Dear friend of mine today, I will love Thee, O Lord. David begins to talk about in that intimate relationship with God. God became to him what he trusted Him for, all that he needed to overcome. And first was, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. 9 times in the first 2 verses, David uses the personal, possessive pronoun, my. Did you realize that my is the first pronoun learned by most children? They say things like my toys, my house, my room, my pacifier, my daddy, my mama. This is just their childish way of stating that they know what is theirs. What David is doing is expressing simple, childlike faith in his relationship with the Lord. He's telling us that he's totally dependent on the Lord for everything. Every ounce of strength came from the Lord. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. In verse 2, the second stanza of this song of victory, he says, and this is what God has become to him through that simple faith in Him, through a relationship with Him. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. David is stating in the strongest of terms that his God is a personal and powerful delivering God. In God and his relationship with him, David finds all the strength he needs to make it through life in spite of the enemies and the circumstances that befall us in as faulty people in faulty bodies in a fallen world. And might I add, with a formidable foe, an enemy called the devil. And yet David said, the Lord's my rock. The Lord's my fortress. The Lord's my deliverer, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Number one, he states clearly the Lord is our stability. He describes God as a rock. When everything else in the world is being tossed and twisted, God forever remains the same. He's always stable, according to Malachi 3:6 and Hebrews 13:8. God is also our safety. David said that God is like a fortress. This surely has reference to the lofty mountain citadels to which he fled when he was running from Saul. David reminds us that the Lord is a place of safety to which every child of God can flee in times of adversity and trial. Satan is like a roaring lion, according to 1 Peter 5:8. However, the saint has a place of safe refuge in the day of attack, because God is our fortress, our place of perfect peace and safety. God is our Savior. David refers to the Lord as his deliverer. The word refers to one who saves, who rescues, who delivers another from danger. This is a word that's filled with glory. You see, the Lord has saved us when we received him by faith, but he goes on working out that saving grace and power every single day. Hallelujah. And when this life is over, we'll be ultimately completely saved when we arrive home in heaven. If we can never find another anthem to raise to the glory of the Savior, we're going to find our song when we begin to praise the Lord for his saving grace. When I don't have anything else to sing about victory because I'm down in some valley that I have to work through, in this kind of teaching, preaching, and this great psalm right here helps me to get through that dark valley. I can always sing Amazing Grace. How about you? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was bound, but now I'm free. Hallelujah. David declares God is our sovereign. He refers to him as God. This word here is El. It means God is Almighty God. The word pictures God as one who is over all things and one who is in control of all things. So the saints of God should rejoice in the knowledge that everything that happens, God can work it into his plan for our personal lives. He's able, in the New Testament it said, to make all things work together for good to them that love him and are the called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Even when we can't make sense of it, God is still on the throne and God is still at work and God is still in control in the midst of all of the chaos and crisis. God is in control, and God is our strength. David tells us that God is all we need. Folks, we can ever rejoice in the fact that the Lord God of heaven will be the strength of our lives. None of us knows what we will face as we go through the years of our lives, but we can know that God will give us the strength we need to face life's trials and battles, and that he will help us all along the way. That's why the Bible said in the book of Hebrews, amen, for he hath said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. He hath said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you, that we might boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord is our shield. David calls the Lord a buckler. Simply means a shield. When trouble comes into your life and mine, sometimes the Lord will allow those things to come. He'll give us grace. However, there are times when the Lord steps between his children and the enemy and the trials and acts as a shield to stand between his child and the storm that is coming. I like it when the Lord is my shield. How about you? Only in heaven Will we fully comprehend the times when God, in His providence, has stepped between us and something that was coming our way to shield us? My shield and my buckler, He's become my strength and my song. Hallelujah. And this is the song, when God became a shield to David. That's why we even sing one of the songs of victory of David. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Many are my enemies, but Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Hallelujah. Now, when I see the shield of faith, it is our faith. Yes, it is. But it's our faith in His promise to provide for us and to protect us. Hallelujah. Listen. And because of that promise and that protection, God is our security. Here the Lord is called a horn of salvation. The horn is the symbol of strength and conquest. When David calls God the horn of salvation, he's saying the Lord is the strength of salvation, and that in His salvation we have absolute security. God will always deliver if we always trust Him and wait upon Him. Amen. The Bible said, cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward in the book of Hebrews. For he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Hallelujah. God is our supply. In his last metaphor, David says the Lord is our high tower. What did he say about the high tower? The name of the Lord in another psalm is the high tower. Hallelujah. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Praise God. This refers to the great towers that were built around the ancient cities. From those towers, soldiers could look down on their attackers, send volleys of arrows down on their heads. These towers were usually stocked with ammunition and supplies. When the soldiers ran to the high tower, they were above the battle. They were in a place of rest, refreshment, and ready supply. I told you earlier, God is more than enough. He's El Shaddai. And that word Shaddai comes from Shad, which means breast. He's the many-breasted one. He's the God who is more than enough. I put it this way. His name is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. He doesn't hold back anything that we need to overcome. He's a God of lavish love. He's a God who makes us more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who saved us. And God is the same for the child of God. When the battle rages about us, we can run to Him and be lifted above our battles and find the rest and refreshment we need to be able to fight the battles and win. Surely we can rejoice in the knowledge that the Lord is ever there for us to run to in the day of battle. Run to means simply to turn to God, to look to Him. We will find Him when we look for Him and seek Him with all of our heart. And surely we can remember, as it says in 1 Samuel 17:47, the battle truly is the Lord's. And because David discovered God's faithfulness, he is enabled and to pray in faith. He said, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from all of my enemies. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Listen, friend, you cannot outrun sin's guilt and penalty, but you can run to Jesus for forgiveness and mercy. You can't outrun your past, but you can run to Christ for complete and full pardon and forgiveness and have a brand new beginning. You cannot outrun your fears, but you can run to the Lord for protection and find peace that passes all understanding. You cannot outrun your weakness, but you can run to Jesus and find strength that is supernatural, something way beyond anything that you could find within yourself. Praise God. Listen, friend, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can turn to Him today, and you can run to Him today. Not run from Him, deeper into the darkness, deeper into the deception, deeper into the sure destruction that awaits you. But you can turn from darkness to light, from Satan to God, from sin unto Jesus. And you can run to Jesus because He will become your high tower, high above the evil intentions of the devil, of your enemies. God will become your friend, and God will become your deliverer, because Jesus has become your Redeemer today. And you can take the shield of faith by making God your shield and quench every flaming arrow, fiery dart of the enemy. And you can stand in the evil day, but in the strength that God grants you and gives you, be strong in the Lord, Hebrews 6 says, and in the power of His might. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things. Not which literally means I'm equal to anything through Christ, which strengthens me. Hallelujah. Today, we can have all that David knew of God and received from God to overcome, and so much more through Jesus Christ today. I encourage you to come to Jesus and be saved if you don't know Him. And I encourage you, Christian, in this day of such trouble and turmoil, amen, to serve the Lord, love the Lord for loving you, and find in Him everything you need to overcome in Jesus' holy and wonderful name. Amen.